Chapter 2. Draco Malfoy and the Path of Learning. Year 2. Dobby's behaviour turned strange as the summer went on. Draco watched him whenever he was able to, and he couldn't figure out what the problem was. Sure, he could ask, but Dobby could be sly when needed, something Draco was rather proud of. When Dobby entered Draco's room with his fingers hidden in a ratty uniform, he knew something needed to change. What happened? Dobby looked down before slowly extending his hands. The sight of long fingers bandaged around the clumsy had Draco concerned. He pulled out his potions kit and crouched to Dobby's height. "I'm waiting," Draco prompted, wishing that Dobby would just talk to him more.
"I burnt Master Malfoy's pre-supper meal."
Draco arched his brows, annoyed that his practice hadn't paid off yet and couldn't master a single brow. "You have never burned a meal as long as I can remember." Dobby's chest puffed out in pride before he looked to the ground as Draco began placing a healing salve on his fingers.
Dobby was distracted.
"Is the reason why something that you're willing to share with me?" When Dobby looked at him in surprise, Draco's heart clenched painfully. "Dobby, I wouldn't force you to tell me your secrets. That's not... I'm not..." He closed his eyes as he realised that it wasn't just Muggleborns and Muggles that he needed to open his horizon to. The road to understanding would be a harder path than he originally believed it to be. "Dobby," Draco tried again as he looked down at his fingers, not strong enough to look up. "You've been the only friendly face I've ever known. I can remember being tiny, alone and so confused. You used to charm my toys to play with me, because I didn't have anyone else. I remember that you would sing to me. Horribly. But you only stopped when Father almost caught you." Draco blinked rapidly when large fingers tentatively touched the back of his hands. "Even if you were busy with a dozen unreasonable tasks, you've always made time for me, whether it was a new adventure that you imagined we would one day go on, or if it was gossip from the other house elves. You're my best friend, and I'm only just now realizing how wrong that is."
"Wrong?"
Dobby whispered as his hands retreated slightly, but were still in touching range. Draco looked into Dobby's eyes, hating that his vision became blurry. "You're enslaved to the family. There's no free will in anything you do. What I saw as a friendship was nothing more than me taking advantage of your kindness. Every action you take is ordered by wizards. That's not okay, and I've contributed to your fate." Draco covered his face as the tears began to fall. "I just wanted a friend, and I made you be that for me. I'm so sorry."
"No, Master Draco, no."
When Draco wiped his eyes and looked up, he had to brace himself as Dobby lunged forward, arms wrapping around his neck.
"Dobby is bound to the family, but Dobby is also Master Draco's friend."
That had Draco's shoulders trembling. He wished it was easier to explain, wished that his own feelings weren't so contradictory. "But if you were free, you wouldn't be. If society had better standards, we never would have met." Dobby frowned before placing his hands on his hips.
"Most house elves don't want change."
That wasn't unheard of, but Draco knew that was associated to hundreds of years of being conditioned to think so.
"Dobby has made peace with servitude."
"But it shouldn't be like that," Draco cried, running his hands through his hair. "You shouldn't have to make peace. You should be doing what you want, what you love to do."
"Most house elves..."
Draco held up a hand, stalling Dobby's statement. "Right now, I don't care what most house elves want. I want to know what you want. Do you want freedom? Do you want the right to make your own decisions?" Dobby's ears drooped, and Draco's heart clenched with the knowledge that it wouldn't last. It couldn't.
"Yes, but Dobby wants to be with Master Draco more."
Draco shook his head as his heart shattered. "Even with my father's cruelty, even with the lack of respect, even with your choices robbed of you." No words were spoken as Dobby nodded his head. "No," Draco couldn't understand the logic. "I'm not worth that. I'm not worth your freedom."
"'Tis not Master Draco's decision to make."
"I could free you." Dobby shook his head firmly.
"Only Master Malfoy can."
I'll find a way, Draco promised. You deserve more than this. Deserve more than to be at our beck and call. Dobby, you deserve so much more than this life. When bandaged hands cupped Draco's cheeks, he wondered if that was what parents did too.
Master Draco does too.
Draco furrowed his brows. I'm...
worth more,
Dobby pressed, eyes pleading.
Master Draco should be free too.
The words had Draco's shoulders slumping. All right, I get it. But that doesn't mean we can't still find freedom. We could do it together. When there was no response, Draco knew it was Dobby's way of humouring him. But denial was the only thing he could believe in. It was the only way he could see a bright future for the both of them. Despite Dobby's doubts, Draco would find a way to free Dobby. He had to. Draco was taking notes as he read from the new edition of books Madam Pince sent when a pop of an apparition could be heard. When no words were spoken, Draco knew that it was Dobby behind him. It was the unspoken rule that if Dobby was in his presence without chores needing to be done, that it was of his own volition. He turned around, smiling softly as Dobby sat tentatively on Draco's bed. "Tell me about your day," he prompted. "Not of the chores or the things Father wanted. Tell me about the other house elves, or whatever interests you." He paused before adding, "That's not an order either. You can say nothing if you prefer." Dobby looked out the window as his feet swung back and forth.
"Izzy and Elpsy have mated with Lola."
Draco snapped his head up, not able to stop his mouth from parting in surprise. "No." The words stretched out as he whispered. "But I thought that Elpsy wanted to mate with Elwyn."
"Elwyn chose a centaur."
"What?" Draco shook his head as he tried to recall when Elwyn would have time for a mate not in the manor. "But that doesn't make any..." Draco narrowed his eyes when Dobby's ears wiggled. Large eyes blinked innocently, and his mouth was relaxed, but Draco knew the ears were a tell. "You're having me on, aren't ye?" Dobby grinned wide, ears moving faster now that he was called out. "You are such a prat," Draco said as he joined Dobby on the bed. "If Elwyn isn't with a centaur, who did he decide to mate with?" Dobby shook his head.
"Elwyn doesn't want to mate."
"I can respect that," Draco mused, not entirely sure how his own future would shape out. If he were to listen to his parents, then it would be an arranged marriage. One that would benefit their family line. "Do you want a mate?" Dobby's nose wrinkled slightly.
"Dobby isn't sure. Time will tell."
Before Draco could respond, Dobby turned to him with a serious expression as his ears drooped. Draco knew that he was about to discover whatever Dobby had been keeping a secret. He wasn't sure he wanted to know.
"Dobby has seen..."
Dobby was cut off by a flare of magic being seared into his skin, a sign that he was going against an order from the head of house.
"Bad things!"
Blue flames licked Dobby's hands in punishment as he tried to find the right words. "Dobby, please don't speak if it will harm you," pleaded Draco. Dobby leaned forward as he looked up at Draco in determination.
"Sometimes that's when words are needed the most."
Draco closed his eyes as he nodded slowly. "All right. But let me try and help. Is my father planning something?" When Dobby opened his mouth, Draco covered it until his gesture was understood. Dobby nodded his head, wincing when magic once again encased his body. Only this time the flames were drastically smaller. "Is it bad?" Draco didn't need Dobby's nod of approval to know it would be. His father never did anything good. Even his charitable donations were shrouded in thinly veiled threats. "Are we talking murder bad, or like running for Minister of Magic bad?" When Dobby rolled his eyes, Draco couldn't help but smirk. "All right, sorry. Does it have anything to do with his previous crimes?" Dobby's eyes widened as he nodded his head so rapidly that his ears shook. Draco dropped his hand as he thought it through, mind already numbed as the realization that he would have to choose a side sooner than he thought. "It involves the Dark Lord." Dobby raised a hand and shook it slightly, indicating he was close. "What do you want to do about it?" Draco asked, unsure how to get the details out of Dobby without harming him.
"Dobby wants to warn Harry Potter."
Draco blinked rapidly before he dramatically lay back on the bed with a flop. "Of course you do." A pointed jab to his side had Draco sighing as he made room for Dobby to lay next to him. If Dobby really did want to stop whatever his father was planning, then it would make sense to go to Potter. Dumbledore's golden boy would be the prime person to present evidence to.
"Dobby needs permission to leave."
Draco closed his eyes as he took one mental step down the path he could one day walk down. "Dobby, warn Harry Potter." "Warning Potter?" Draco asked as he held up one hand. "And trying to prevent him from entering the platform." He held up his other hand as he shifted them up and down. "Not seeing how the two equal up." Dobby looked to the ground as his ears fell. Draco knew he was going soft if pleading eyes could melt his ire.
"No harm can happen to Harry Potter if he isn't at Hogwarts."
Draco snorted as Dobby tried to explain it away. "Sure, that logic is sound, but it's not realistic. People would notice if Potter wasn't here. Not to mention Dumbledore would have gone looking for him."
"Dobby didn't think of that."
That much was obvious. However, Draco didn't say it.
"Should Dobby not have stopped Harry Potter's mail?"
Draco dropped his hands as he stared at Dobby incredulously. "No. Why would you..." "Never mind. I don't want to know." "No. The answer is no. You shouldn't have stopped his mail." Despite the disaster of events, Draco was proud of Dobby. For once, Dobby was choosing his own actions. He was making his own mistakes and choosing what he wanted to do, even if that meant breaking the code of servitude. When Dobby appeared determined, Draco briefly wondered what other crazy idea he would come up with next. If Dobby wasn't careful, he would harm Potter rather than protect him. Would be entertaining to witness, though.
At least no one on the Gryffindor team had to buy their way in. They got in on pure talent,
Granger said sharply. That stung, but Draco couldn't ignore that his father had ensured he would make the team. As far as insults go, it was mild and easily ignored.
No one asked your opinion, you filthy mudblood,
Flint snarled, hands clenching his broom tightly. Draco had to step in front of Marcus to stop the Weasley twins from leaping forward.
Don't say that, Draco said,
knowing this was another defining moment that would shape his path. The previous chaos stilled as everyone looked between Draco and Marcus. Draco ignored the incredulous look from Marcus's face as he looked to Granger.
If you want to insult her, there's an immeasurable amount of material to do so. Her lack of humour is a start, or her inability to tell the difference between the effects of aconite powder versus liquid.
He smirked when Granger mumbled.
It was one time.
But her blood status? Draco asked as he looked back to Marcus. That's a cheap shot. We're better than cheap shots.
Malfoy, Marcus hissed, eyes narrowed. Don't tell me what to do. I am the captain. You do well to remember that.
Draco shrugged once. As far as intimidating people went, Flint wasn't one of them.
You will do well to remember your gift.
He gestured towards the brooms each member of the team were sporting. As Granger so nicely said,
my father bought my way in.
Draco winked at her, knowing she would take it as the jibe that it was. Wood cleared his throat, drawing their attention.
Right, we'll be going now, since you've got the pitch and all.
It was said with a dark glare, and Draco rolled his eyes, knowing the Mormon was only upset about a lack of practice. Honestly, Wood was obsessed with Quidditch, and Draco wondered how far that obsession went. It couldn't be healthy. When the rest of the Slytherin team took to the sky, Draco looked around the field, not surprised to see the annoying trio still there.
You shouldn't have stepped in,
Weasley ground out, hands clenched in his robes.
I could have hexed him.
Right, Draco said slowly. With that wand, you would have done more harm to yourself than him.
Weasley looked as if he wanted to hex Draco, but instead stormed off the field.
It was an improvement from their usual. Draco liked to think it was progress. You know, Potter said as he took a small step forward, I think this is proof that I'm winning. Draco rolled his eyes as he looked away. A simple act of inaction doesn't equate to a sight. Granger looked between them, brows furrowing with each word they spoke. Inaction? I think it's more than that, Potter Neulin continued. That was the opposite of inaction. You took a stance, and that is the first step. When did you become so righteous? Potter laughed lightly as he locked eyes with Draco. The moment I became a Gryffindor. A foolish Gryffindor. Perhaps. Potter shrugged. But you might be a brave Slytherin one day. Don't, Draco argued, head shaking as he tried not to become angry. Don't speak as if you know. You can't understand. No, Potter agreed. But I'd like to some day. Draco wasn't sure what to say to that. He looked into Potter's eyes as he wondered why it all mattered. Why did Potter care? What did it matter whether Draco chose a side?
What's with you two?
Granger asked, speaking up for the first time.
Draco was surprised at her restraint. She tended to overtalk. Nothing. Everything. Draco huffed at Potter's response. Everything. Just what did Potter think he knew? Please tell me how attacking Potter with the bludger was saving him, Draco asked as he hid inside a passageway Dobby found. He wasn't sure, but it looked like it went on for a while. The path could go out into the courtyard or even end up past the Whomping Willow.
Attacking is a strong word,
Dobby hedged as he found a rock in the path to sit on. Draco tried to withhold a laugh, but his shoulders shook. What would you call it, then? He's in the hospital wing. Dobby's ears fell as he looked to the ground.
Dobby didn't mean to hurt Harry Potter. Never hurt him.
Well, you did less damage than Lockhart, Draco said, hoping to cheer Dobby up. The man is an idiot. When Dobby's spirits didn't lift, Draco tried to scramble for something. You could always talk to him. Apologize? Dobby perked up, ears wheeling in excitement.
Dobby could do that. And perhaps Harry Potter will forgive Dobby.
Draco shrugged, half listening as he looked down the path. I'm sure he would. The bleeding heart that he is.
And maybe Dobby can further help Harry Potter?
Draco nodded distractedly as he realised the passage would actually end underneath the Whomping Willow. Why would anyone want that? Briefly, he wondered if the roots were as wild as the rest of the tree. Wait! Draco held up a hand, turning to Dobby. That's not a good... The sound of the disapprobation had him sighing. Idea, he finished to the empty air. If Dobby wasn't careful, Potter would take out a restraining order. Dear cousin, being raised the black taught me to never trust, to never love, and to bury everything that isn't conformed to being pure in my beliefs. Trust. Such a vulnerable concept. We are told as purebloods, and especially as Slytherins, that to trust someone gives them power, and that we work better when the foolish trust us instead. But that isn't trust. It never was. I think we've been fooled into believing that trust is a one-way path. Trust goes both ways. If only one party holds trust, then that is toxic. No wonder we are raised to crave that. No wonder we are cruel and bitter. Without trust, we can't properly form relationships or rapport with others. To trust no one leads to a lonely life. I want to trust. I want to be vulnerable, if only for a moment. If only there was the opportunity. If only I had realised this early on. If only I could have changed sooner. My mother says that half-bloods, blood traitors and muggleborns are ruining society by existence. The mantra of pure is best has been shouted at me my whole life. The irony of all of this is that they believe everyone else is blind to reality. They spew the skewed vision that everyone else has conformed to their neighbour and no individuality is left. But can you tell me the difference between a black and a Malfoy? The difference between a Goyle and a Crab. The difference between a Knot and a Yaxley. Because I sure can't. I see the same hatred, the same anger, the same bigotry, and I see the same prejudice. So who is the true conformist? Where is their individuality that they so desperately love to preach about? Love.
I don't know if my parents understand just what love is. I believe they care for me, and Sirius as well. But love. They don't even love each other. Their marriage was arranged, their wedding planned before they could talk, and their contract held 2 children. I was pre-planned, and never once with the intention to be loved.
When I told you I was a spare, I was not being dramatic. I was the backup plan, and it turns out it was needed. My mother likes to pretend. Pretend that I was her favourite, when in all actuality, I was just itching to be wanted. I followed her footsteps, hoping that she would notice. It wasn't until Sirius began to act out that she knew I had an importance to her. For once, I mattered. I was the one who was going to lead the family into a new era. If only I had known what that entailed. If only I had been smart enough to question things. If only I had been more like Sirius. Funny how her steps seemed to disappear when she got what she wanted, and suddenly I was on a path I didn't know. There were no directions, and I was all alone. I got the mark. I got the attention I desperately wanted. And for once, I was doing something that Sirius wasn't. I was doing what I thought needed to be done. I was wrong. So wrong. I know I'm repeating the same underlying message of my previous letters, but I need you to understand the importance of all of this. The importance of trust. The importance of love. Whether it's familial, platonic, or romantic, I need you to understand that vulnerability doesn't have to be the enemy of your emotions. And the biggest message of all is to find your own beliefs. Don't let someone else choose for you. Don't let someone else guide you down a path you aren't aware of. Look at the facts, learn the knowledge, and consciously choose who you want to be. You, cousin, are the innocence I wish I still had. You are a tiny life that will soon go out into the world. I hope you maintain a piece of that innocence. I hope you don't allow the horrors of the world to erase who you are. I realize how biased I may seem to you, but I would never aim to make you choose. I want you to be the sole decision-maker of your own life, but with informed knowledge. There is choosing who you are, and there is choosing who you are with the understanding that comes with growing up. Don't let the mistakes of your parents be your mistakes as well. Don't let your ancestors be the voice unless it's your voice too. Don't let anyone choose for you. You be your own voice of reason. You be your own role model. You be the one to look up to, and you be the path you want to walk down. Just be you, cousin. I promise it's enough. Love, Regulus. Draco reread the letter for the 4th time as he sat on the steps of the astronomy tower. Regulus' words made everything seem so easy. Was it easy for Regulus because he made mistakes? Was it easy to be righteous once wrong? Or was it hard to be wrong? Was there bravery in admitting one's flaws? Trust wasn't something Draco had experience with. There wasn't a single person outside of Dobby that he trusted. Was that wrong? Should Draco have made a rapport with others? He couldn't wrap his mind around the thought of being vulnerable. By Regulus's words, it was obvious that he never had opened up to someone. So how could he preach something that never happened? But that wasn't entirely true, was it? He looked down at the words, elegantly inked to parchment, as he realised that Regulus had been vulnerable with Draco. Could Draco do that? Could he open up to someone else? The odds weren't high. Choosing his own beliefs was something he was already doing. Perhaps not as quickly as others, but it was a personal battle, one that Draco was taking to heart. At the very least, Regulus had shaped the decision to choose for himself. When the time came, Draco knew whatever choice he made, it would be of his own volition.
As Draco's eyes skimmed the letter once more, He stopped on the one word that caused the most unease.
Love. Regulus may have been his own person, but sometimes Draco wondered if they were the same. Regulus's parents didn't love each other, and neither did his own. Sure, they pretended for the public eye, and there were times when they seemed to try, but overall, they were coexisting in the same space, breathing the same air, but never close enough for contact. Draco used to think his parents loved him. He used to think they showed it differently. But there were only so many lies to tell before the delusion faded. They cared for what he could do for them, cared for his status as an heir, and not much else. Dobby was the one who watched him, the one who looked after him, the one who cared for him, and the one who was there. The other house elves spent more time with him than his own parents. That wasn't love, that was obligation. In the future, love could be possible. Draco wasn't dramatic enough to claim that he could never love or be loved by someone. But that wasn't what was important to him. There was a whole world of issues that mattered more. Perhaps that was his age responsible for his thoughts, or lack of interest, but it was true nonetheless. The pitter-patter of feet in the distance had Draco sitting up straighter, hands still holding the letter. When Potter walked up the stairs, Draco relaxed minutely.
"Couldn't sleep?"
"Something like that," said Potter as he sat down next to Draco, as if there was something they did all the time.
"I hear you're Slytherin's heir,"
Draco teased, knowing that after the duel, the rumours spread rapidly. Potter huffed as he shook his head.
"Idiots, the lot of them."
"I can't argue that," Draco agreed as he gave Potter his full attention. "Being a Parselmouth is a gift, an honour, and it's not something to fear." Potter looked up, eyes searching Draco's face.
"It doesn't feel like a gift."
"That's because those who don't understand will vilify it. Don't let them shame you into hiding it."
"Voldemort was a Parselmouth."
Draco tried not to flinch at the name.
"He was also a murderer, but that has no correlation to being a Parselmouth. Dumbledore is powerful, but on the wrong side of a loony bin. There's no correlation, Potter."
A small twitch at Potter's lip had Draco hoping that meant the message was sticking. In the 13th century, those with the gift of being a Parselmouth were revered, and many times in a position of power.
"I don't want power," Potter's whispered voice carried, soft but firm in the passionate reply.
"I just want..." He trailed off, looking down the stairs. Draco narrowed his eyes. It wasn't often people claimed to not want power. Everyone craved power, whether it was the power over others, power in money, power in society, power in politics, or even power in magic.
"I want to be normal."
Draco couldn't help but wince.
"I don't know how to do that."
Being normal would have been nice. Growing up, Draco used to wonder what other children did for fun, and what it was like to have a friend. Living day in and out inside the manor wasn't healthy. The only times he went anywhere with his parents were if there was a charity, function, or ball to go to, and they needed the appearance of being a happy family. Normal wasn't exactly something Draco knew how to be.
"Normal sounds boring."
Potter wrinkled his nose in response. "But maybe boring could be an adventure in its own way."
"Is that what you want? An adventure?"
Draco wondered as his mouth curled into stasis. Adventures were the spotlight. Adventures were a boldness that didn't fit who he was. Potter shrugged once.
"I just want to be someone who can go on an adventure without being noticed."
Draco narrowed his eyes.
"Boring, as in just another face? Boring, as in an unknown name in the crowd? You want to be someone who isn't in the spotlight. And you don't mean adventure in the normal way, do you?"
He ignored the mused glint in Potter's eyes as he tried to figure him out.
"You mean living. You just want to be someone who isn't famous. A boring nobody who has the potential to do whatever they want."
Intrigue filled Draco as Potter nodded. Most people wouldn't wish to not be in Potter's position.
"You can, you know," Draco prodded.
"You can walk down a different path and be that nobody. Throw away all expectations and just do whatever you want." Potter smiled sadly. And Draco already knew what he would say.
"I can't do that."
before Draco could roll his eyes and explain that if Potter wasn't so dense, then of course it could be done. Potter continued, "You told me my path was set in stone, and you were right. People look at me and they see a complete picture. They see my etched lines that should be unfinished, but they filled it in with colours that aren't a part of me. It's framed and in so many homes that finding the original is impossible." Potter paused to shake his head and close his eyes. "I don't know how to be that picture, the one they all see. But yet I can't seem to shake it either. I can't change how they view me. The only thing I can do is try to be who they see." "All that is going to accomplish is to crush your spirit," Draco argued. "You can't be someone you aren't. Maybe you can pretend in the beginning, but eventually it will fail." "Maybe not," Potter whispered, tone miserable. "You are a martyr," Draco realized in disgust. "No wonder you are a Gryffindor. Where is your self-preservation? When do you get to put yourself first?" When Potter didn't answer, Draco shook his head. "I hope you know what you are doing." "Does anyone?" Draco acknowledged that with a tilt of his head. Potter had a point. "Perhaps this will be the path you need. Or maybe it's the one you wish you hadn't gone down." "Mistakes are inevitable," Potter said as they locked eyes. "Even if this is a mistake, then it's one that I can always fix later on. No path is irreversible." "That's where you are wrong," Draco whispered, eyes falling to the letters he thought of the path Burglars walked down. "Some things can't be fixed." Draco stood up, noticing that Potter was looking at the letter curiously. "You can regret things and even realise that you've made a mistake. But there are some things that can't be redeemed." "I disagree," Potter called out as Draco walked down the stairs. "Everyone deserves redemption." Did they? Draco wondered if Regulus ever found redemption. Perhaps nothing public, but maybe personal. Did Regulus ever find his own personal redemption? Draco grabbed a book on the history of imprisoned muggles during the global Wizarding War and set out to find in a cove where he could read in peace when he came across Granger, Potter and Weasley surrounded by a mountain of books. "Year-end tests aren't this dire." Potter looked up with a small quirk of his lips. "Leisurely reading." Bly almost had Draco snorting as he ignored Granger and Weasley's curious looks. "If you say so, Potter." Just when Draco was about to turn away and continue on, Potter said, "I hear you're Slytherin's heir."
"Harry!"
Granger hissed at the same time Weasley kicked Potter's leg. Draco couldn't withhold a snort. He knew Potter was only teasing, perhaps to get him back. "I'm the heir of many things," Draco whispered, winking when Weasley sat up straighter, as if he really was the heir of Slytherin. "I'm the heir of a Death Eater, an heir of entitlement, and even the heir of privilege, but not Slytherin's heir." "I think you left out the heir of bad taste," Potter teased, grinning when Draco scowled. "Excuse you, but have you ever looked in a mirror? Those with horrendous hair cannot condemn others." Draco turned around with a dramatic flourish as he hoped his cloak hit Potter in the process and walked away.
"What just happened?"
Weasley's voice carried as Draco walked through the rows.
"We didn't even find out if Malfoy really is the heir."
"Malfoy was never the heir," Potter argued. "That much is clear." Draco wasn't sure what Weasley said in response, but he wasn't surprised that they were trying to figure it out. Meddling Gryffindors with no sense of self-preservation. Draco felt a little pity as Potter was forced to listen to his Valentine in public. But really, he was just amused. It wasn't until he looked down at his feet and noticed the diary that his amusement faded into confusion. He picked up the book and wondered why it looked familiar. The pages were empty and the cover was old, but it still felt as if Draco should recognise it. Draco bit his lip as he tried to force his recollection, but his mind was coming up blank. "Give that back." Potter's voice was quiet, and it startled Draco out of his reverie. He blinked up at Potter, curious as to why he seemed worried. Draco handed the book over, distracted enough to offer an apology, something a few onlookers seemed surprised to pick up on. Before Draco took off, He shot the diary in Potter's hand, one last lingering look.
Should Dobby visit Harry Potter?
Absolutely not, Draco said as he sent cleaning charms around the secret passageway he decided to claim as his own. If Dobby tried to help Potter any more, it might actually kill him. When Dobby looked disheartened, Draco sighed heavily. Perhaps at the end of the year? A goodbye greeting. Dobby clapped his hands, excitement nearly infectious.
Dobby could do that!
Hey, Dobby, Draco began hesitantly. Do you know anything about an old diary? Dobby's hands fell,
the smile leaving his face instantly as his ears drooped.
Is this what you couldn't tell me? Is that diary my father's? Has he caused the whole thing? When Dobby's eyes wouldn't meet his own, Draco swore loudly. Potter has the diary. Dobby gasped loudly as he shook his head.
No, no, Master Draco. Harry Potter is in grave danger.
Draco closed his eyes as he tried not to hesitate. Did that make him a bad person? If he did nothing, it would be exactly what his father would want. If he did nothing, there could be no fallout that would harm him. If he did nothing, he would simply be an observer. But is that what he wanted? The path that would define his future was shaping with each decision Draco made, and he knew that this would be a large stone, one that would leave a layup for the rest. There had never been any question, not really. Draco hated that his own self-preservation seemed to disappear when Potter was involved. Draco stood up quickly as he exited the passageway. He had a reckless Gryffindor to find. Potter. A few heads turned, probably hoping to see a fight. Something that hadn't happened since the beginning of their first year. Potter looked, well, crushed. Draco tried to recall if anything had happened, but his mind was blank. You heard about Hermione, then? Draco blinked rapidly. Granger? No. Has something happened? She's been petrified. Draco took a step back. He took a deep breath before grabbing hold of Potter's sleeve and dragging him to an empty classroom. I'm sorry about Granger. I am. But this just makes it all that much more important. If you didn't know about Hermione, then why did you want to talk to me? Draco closed his eyes before looking to Potter. That diary you have. That belonged to my father. What? Potter took a step back, expression closing off. I didn't know that, Draco promised, not liking the distance. I've only just found out. I don't know what it does, but I can promise you that it's nothing good. You need to get rid of it. A silence stretched between them. It was stifling and had Draco shifting slightly in unease. Someone's stolen it. What? Potter looked away as he shook his head. It had to be someone in Gryffindor. They're the only ones who know the password. All I know is that the book is gone. Draco wasn't sure what to say. Warning Potter was the extent of his help. He didn't want to do much else. I've got a plan, though, Potter continued. I've got to talk to Hagrid first, though. You have a plan? Draco drawled unimpressed. That worries me. Potter rolled his eyes before opening the door. Thank you, Malfoy. You can be a good guy, when you want to be. If that leaves this room, I will murder you, Potter, and blame it on the monster that resides in the chamber. The sound of Potter's laugh echoed in the empty room, and Draco wished it wasn't comforting. Perhaps Potter really did have a plan. Draco knocked on Severus's office door, annoyed that his head of house interrupted his studying. Come in. When Draco pushed open the door, he saw a chair waiting for him. He sighed, knowing it meant he would be expected to linger. You wanted to see me, sir? Work has informed me that you hexed Sabini earlier. Draco feigned surprise. Such an accusation is harmful when inaccurate. Severus's lips twitched as he folded his hands on the desk. Sabini has since informed me that it was unprovoked. Draco looked away, hating that the action would give him away. Care to tell me why you aren't using such talents on other students? Gryffindors, perhaps? The question was more teasing than anything, but Draco wasn't in the mood. Zabini was talking about their tax, sir. Said it was justice for them being muggle-born, only he didn't call them that. He called them mudbloods. Draco nodded tersely, wishing he could ignore the calculating look in Severus's eyes. I'm surprised you're taking offence, especially given your own upbringing. Draco clenched his fists. I can think for myself, you know. Can you? When Draco glared darkly, Severus smirked openly. What has brought out this change, Draco? Draco lifted one shoulder, not ready to answer that. Is it Potter? That had Draco's brows furrowing. Potter has nothing to do with this. The lie was minimal, but not worth thinking about. Potter wasn't responsible for Draco's thoughts. Something has happened for you to take up this change. If I have noticed, so will your father. A harsh scoff left Draco as he glared at the wall behind Severus. Father would have to be around to notice anything. When Severus's eyes turned soft, Draco had to fight the urge to get angry. He didn't want to be pitied. Draco stood up, not wanting to discuss his father much further. I will make my own choices. If I do something, it's going to be of my own accord. If that means hexing prejudice tosses, then so be it. As Draco closed the door, he heard Severus softly exhale. 10 points to Slytherin. Draco ran down the corridor, pushing past students as he desperately tried to find Dobby. The link was broken, and that could only mean one or two things. Either Dobby was freed, or something had happened to him. The pool of Dobby's magic had disappeared near Dumbledore's office. Draco just hoped he would still be there. As he rounded the corner and caught sight of large eyes, he let out a little noise of relief.
Master Draco!
Dobby yelled as he wrapped his arms around Draco's knees. Draco panted as he tried to calm his heart after running. He looked around, expecting to see his father, but was surprised to see Potter watching them with arched brows.
Dobby, what happened? I felt the bond break.
Dobby took a step back as he looked to the ground, lip trembling.
Harry Potter freed Dobby!
Draco took in a shaky breath as he knelt down to peer into Dobby's eyes. Did he now? He hated the way his voice cracked.
Dobby is torn.
It's okay to want freedom, Draco promised. I told you that I would find a way to free you, but it looks like that was unnecessary.
But Dobby wants to stay with Master Draco.
Dobby cried, ears falling as his eyes filled with tears.
Master Draco needs Dobby.
Draco laughed, but it was wet and slightly hysterical.
Yes, I do, but not at the risk of your freedom. Dobby, you deserve this. You deserve to be free. You always have.
Master Draco is Dobby's best friend.
Draco closed his eyes as they began to sting. I know, and you know that you are mine as well. I'll miss you. Dobby flung forward, wrapping his arms around Draco's neck. Draco held on tightly as he wondered if this would be the last time they saw each other.
Please visit me, Draco begged. I can handle Father. I can handle being alone. I can handle the other house elves, but I can't handle the thought of never seeing you again.
Draco pulled back enough to look into Dobby's eyes, hating that his own were blurry.
Dobby promises. Master Draco isn't alone. Dobby will always visit. Master Draco is family.
The tears fell despite Draco's valiant efforts. You're the only family I've got, Draco whispered. The only true family. Dobby's fingers wiped Draco's tears away, and the action caused more to fall. Who's going to tell me when I'm being stupid? Draco asked, hating that for Dobby to have freedom, he had to lose his only friend. Who's going to gossip about the other house elves of me? I don't know what I'd do without you. A wounded noise left Dobby as he held onto Draco again.
Who's going to treat Dobby with respect without Master Draco?
Dobby asked quietly.
Oh, Dobby. Draco squeezed Dobby tightly. If they don't treat you with respect, don't work for them. You aren't someone to be ordered around. You are worth so much.
So is Master Draco.
Draco closed his eyes, fighting back a whimper as he let Dobby go and wiped his eyes. "You should go," Draco said as he reached forward to wipe Dobby's eyes, "before my father comes back." It was always a possibility, but Draco doubted it. His father wasn't one to continue after losing. Dobby looked like he wanted to argue, but he nodded his head anyway and left with a small crack of a disapprobation. Draco sagged with Dobby gone, not sure he could keep it together. It was hard to be happy for Dobby when it felt like Draco's world was crumbling, but he was. Dobby really did deserve the world, and Draco was just glad it was finally happening. "I'm sorry, Malfoy." Potter's voice startled Draco as he blinked up, eyes stinging. "If I'd known, I wouldn't have..." "Thank you," Draco interrupted as he wiped his eyes. "Thank you for freeing him. I couldn't do it, but you did. And I can't stress how much that means to me." Potter's eyes looked a little wet, but Draco wasn't in a position to judge. Draco got up, wishing he hadn't lost control in front of Potter, but there was nothing to be done about it. As Draco turned around to leave, Potter's voice stilled him. "Dobby was right. You aren't alone." "It feels like I am," Draco whispered, not looking back as he continued forward. Wondering if the rest of his path would be like this. Alone.
You've been listening to Dear Cousin, Love Regulus, written by XX the Dark Lord, XX, and read by Reverie Pye.